from the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Blind Handyman Show.
Yeah.
All right.
Hello there, neighbors, and welcome to show number 197. This is May 8th, year 2007. Good to have you with us today. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all, of course, designed with the blind in mind. Our host for the show, the one and only Don Shaw.
Tom Houston in person today, yes. What a deal.
Hey.
Hell of a thing, isn't it?
It's good to be here, guys. Mr. Blind Handyman himself, Don Patterson.
Yeah, with the blind in mind. Yeah. I like that. When did you come up with that, Thomas?
Oh, we've been doing that since day one.
Not 197 times.
That's exactly. No, you're right. Not show number 197.
That's right.
Boy, this is the only show number 197.
Well, we'll see next week. I've seen times when we've had two or three different.
Anyway, I'm Tom Houston, folks, but here he is. Here's the creator and the producer of the Blind Handyman Show. His name is Phil Parr.
Who'd you expect, right, Brian? But, man, this is the first time we've had a quorum since the guys were down. Since
all Max, four of us are here, too.
Well, since yep. Max and... Oh. What's that other guy's name? Jim Cummings.
Well, you
and,
said it.
John Cummings.
Today, March the 10th.
March the 10th was a Saturday. And you came on Saturday, but you did not come that Sunday, Houston, right? We did a show, and you read me list mail.
I did.
And so you were here on March 10th, and now you're here on May 8th.
May
yeah.
the 8th.
That's amazing.
Boy.
Here on March 10th for the big weekend and all those good ribs. Remember, we had some good food that weekend,
yeah,
didn't we?
I should have had the ribs on Sunday. He'd come on Sunday, then wouldn't he?
So then I wasn't here then, so it's been a little longer since we've had a quorum.
Well, you were. That's right. We didn't have a quorum that Sunday, but you were here for the show, but Tom wasn't.
Yeah,
that's
but
right.
Then, so we'd have to go back to the Tuesday before that was he here.
We had a quorum, yes.
Yes, so, okay.
Okay.
So it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Our statisticians are working on
well,
that.
Well, I was just doing the last time he'd been to my house. Was that Saturday
right.
the 10th, but we didn't do a handyman show that day.
Anyway, it is so nice to be here. I love being here.
Well, we're glad you're here. It's not raining today. Of course, it may snow is starting in out in left field. One guy fell out of the stand. Sorry to hear that. But anyway, here we all are gathered here in our favorite beverage in our hand. Don and I are having the wine today, a couple of winos.
That's right.
And we're having the old wine. We appreciate Emily helping buying it for us. That was nice of her, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I insist.
Large bottle of wine.
It is a large bottle. Anyway, we're all gathered around in the studio for the first time, and I assume, just an assumption on my part, that you, Tom Houston, brought some list mail with some questions we can answer, right?
I hope so.
I do, too. Now,
the questions that we can answer may be the magic question there.
Why don't you test this out, Houston, and read an answer for us?
Let me try this one, okay? Here's one on wood finishing, okay? This guy says, this hobby is getting more and more expensive. Yesterday, I purchased red cherry and red oak to make two more TV stands. Now, these stands are not that big, and the wood was a little over $300. Goodness. Anyway, while there, I found out that they carry some exotic woods. They have some purple heart. My daughter had wanted me to make a plant stand out of that wood. I was told that in time the UV rays would turn it into a brown color. Now then, is there something that will totally filter out the UV rays? I don't want to spend the time or money.
Where do we get these?
If the wood will lose the beautiful color.
You put sunglasses on it, you dummy.
Put some number 15 UV sunblock on it.
Yeah, put some sunblock on it.
I hope for the best.
I mean, I wouldn't know if the answer bit me in the you-know-what.
I think they're coming out of the woodwork. They're just trying to do this to us. They're trying to make us look foolish.
They're succeeding. It's working, whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Anybody have a clue? I mean, really?
Well, must have a follow up to that somewhere.
No. I didn't bring a follow up. I just knew you guys would know.
Yeah, you knew damn well we wouldn't know, too.
I would imagine. So he's saying that if he doesn't finish the wood at all, it will turn.
They said it will turn
a brown color.
Yeah, dark or something.
So then, I mean, with that, and so he wants to keep it the purple color.
Yeah. But the thing is, if you're making a TV stand and you don't put it next to a window,
he's talking about making a plant stand.
Okay.
Why would you make a plant stand out of expensive wood in the first place? To put out in the rain. That's stupid. Make the damn thing out of water-resistant plywood and be done with it. You won't have to worry about it.
I would go on. Actually, I would go with a clear shellac or something. I mean, and they've got them that real. I mean, weather resistant or something, maybe even some, you know, you'd have to worry about putting a sealer on it like Thompson's if it changed its color, but a clear varnish or a shellac to weatherproof it, that's what I'd do.
Yeah.
That'd be about as good as any. But he's talking about making this plant stand out of, you know, $30 wood, out of expensive wood. That seems rather foolish to me.
Well, I thought he said the wood was more than $30.
Well, he said the wood for his TV stand was $30, And this guy must be quite a craftsman.
Yeah.
I've never made a TV stand.
Out of $300.
That sounds interesting. All right.
I've never bought anything with plywood. I'm scared. I'm afraid I'll mess it up, you know. I am. Anyway, go ahead.
Let's move on to saw blades here. This is the same guy, by the way. He says, hi, all. On the most recent CD of the woodworking magazines, there was an article about a new blade. The Fruid. Hope that's the spelling. Glue line blade, he called it. I would like to give it a try. I just called Lowe's and Home Depot and neither sell it. Sears does not have anything like it. Any ideas where I can purchase it? Since I just purchased a large pile of cherry and would have to make so many glue joints, I think it would help.
Link. Yeah, go to Google and type the word in and don't call us anymore.
Take
him off the list.
This guy, I did a couple of deals from this. Amazon.com.
Yeah.
This is where one guy found him, and he got it for like $100. It's a $150 blade, and he said he got it for $100.
Wonder what it does that other blades don't do.
Must be some super carbide.
It must be. Tipped.
Tip. Some kind of.
Well, no, the way he was talking, that if he used it, he wouldn't have to make so many glue joints. So I don't know. What is it? Glue the wood for you?
I don't know.
I'm not spending $100 on a saw blade.
Anyway, another place to go.
You know, because my brother-in-law cut firewood with it, and there it'll be. You know?
That would be the problem, wouldn't it?
Be the deal, man.
Woodworker Supply sells it, and it's woodworker.com, so you can get it there also. So, Lenny, you're taken care of.
Your prayers have been answered. I'm really surprised Lowe's or one of those doesn't have it, because they have everything.
Yeah, seems like they got everything.
I do think they would. Anyway, that's never heard of it. Fruid. I need to start getting that magazine and reading it every week, I guess, or every month.
Yeah. Maybe we could answer something.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on that.
I've never heard of that brand.
I've never heard of it.
I've never heard of the magazine.
Well, we had the guy on that does the magazine. I knew about the magazine. We had him on. He's from Chicago.
Larry Martin.
He's from Chicago, and it's a free magazine. I guess we need to have him on again.
Yeah, we do. I kind of have him as an ongoing guest.
He reads articles into this magazine, puts them on CD, and sends them to you free of charge. That's his.
Well, what a guy.
He's a retired
deal, man.
He's a retired. I forget what he does. Real nice guy.
He's an attorney, I think.
Get him on as a guest again, Donald, and we'll talk to him about it. If you have time. All right.
Okay, he says, this guy says, hi, a friend informed me that there was a small hole towards the bottom of my garage service door. Another friend informed me that the hole was a result of rust. I decided to install a new service door. I went to Maynard's, purchased a new pre-hung steel service door. The new door fits the dimensional measurements of the existing door, 80 inches high by 36 inches wide. So does anybody have any tips or suggestions for installing the new door and framing? I already have the shims that I'll probably need to help with securing this door to the garage without bowing the framing. And I do have the caulking that I'll need to seal the seam that will be there after installing the door. But are there any potential gotchas and shortcuts that I might want to know about I start this thing?
If the frame's not bad on the old door, take the hinge pins out of the old door and put the new door in the old frame and don't worry about it. That'd be the easiest solution now, wouldn't it?
Sometimes they won't fit. Though a lot of times the doors are not. I mean, they just turn them. They don't turn them out like on the assembly.
They're made for their frame that they come with.
Yeah, so you may run into that situation. That would be something to look at.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we'll just when you take it out, I mean, plumb and square is the answer. I mean, you're going to have to stay plumb and, you know, not only top to bottom, but front to back and square. If you get it in there racked in some way, and your shims, you want to minimize the nailing. Actually, if it's put in right, the trim is actually supposed to kind of hold the door, because on these industrial or metal type doors, you use some nails or screws in the frame, but you want to be sure that when you're screwing something in, you're not pulling your frame
out of whack. Yeah.
You would almost have to have some sided help, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know my first inclination would be just to do what Phil said. I would sure measure.
I'd try that.
I would measure and see if the hinge.
If it looked like it'd work, I'd sure try, because that you wouldn't take but a minute. You've got to take the old door off anyway. And so, hold the new door up there, put the top and bottom, it'll have three hinges, I'm sure. Put the top and bottom hinge pins in. If it doesn't close quite tight, close it, take a crowbar and put between the frame and the door and move it back and forth a couple of times and open and close the door and go and get a beer and don't worry about it, you know?
But also, if your plate, I don't know if you're on concrete or what, but if it's not level, that you put some little shims up under it so it doesn't, like when you step on it, it doesn't have any give.
Yep.
And then caulking at the bottom, actually, around that. But that's kind
pretty
of
good
a,
little
that's
project.
A, that's a pretty good little project for one person.
For one person is tough.
Getting the biggest problem will be getting that old frame off.
Yeah.
You got to take the woodwork, got to take the trim off, and then take the inside frame off. I mean, you can't take it off intact. That's not going
to
happen.
Well, and try to get your door pretty much kind of in part of the hole where you got some support before you unstaple it from the frame.
Yeah,
buddy,
oh, yeah.
That'll get you.
Yeah,
out
for
of
one
wear.
Person, it's a big, you know, a big deal.
It'd be a big job.
Big of a door.
It would be a blind. You could two blind people could do it, or you know, you could do it by yourself if you.
Well, I set one about a year and a half ago that's 42 inches wide. It was extra wide steel door, and it was about all I wanted to try to handle, and I was in a lot better shape then than I am now.
Well, you've aged a year.
Yeah.
All right, Tyler. We're dangerously close to actually giving some useful information.
I don't think what we said will make one bit of difference.
No,
that person will.
I doubt it.
Here's someone says, "Hi, everybody. I just bought a new weed eater push lawnmower with a Briggs & Stratton engine this past weekend."
Yes, all this.
Yeah. I was going over the owner's manual, yes, a woman reading a power tool manual, and it says under changing oil section to soak the air cleaner foam in oil and wring out with a soft cloth and replace. My question is, do I do this before I use the mower for the first time? All the manual says is to do it when you change the oil. It also says to change the oil after the first 5 hours of operation. Is this necessary?
Well, I think it came with that oil in it, didn't it?
I think it came with that oil in that air cleaner.
Yeah.
And
first time you changed the filter.
It came with no oil in it, though, didn't it? Didn't she say?
That was the question. Should the filter have a little bit of oil on it already? And I think it does.
I think it probably does.
And I think in some cases, now some lawnmowers you buy, they send the oil in the bottle with it, and you have to put it in.
I saw a message down the line where she said that she got a quart of oil.
Yeah, this one came with the bottle of oil.
So we'd assume that it didn't have any oil in it. So
and if it's just a regular lawnmower, too, and now this could be critical because they may have sent you more oil than you need, and the worst thing you could do to that engine is to overfill it.
Yep.
Now, I mean, not underfill it. And so this might require some sided. There's a little mark inside the filler. I doubt that it has a sump pump with a stick, with the dipstick. And I mean, it may be a more elaborate lawnmower than I'm used to. But if it does not, if it just has a place to put oil, you might want to get some eyesight there in that one situation.
Don't overfill it.
Because there's no place for that oil to go, so.
Yeah, that probably you probably need to get somebody to help, because that'd be a shame to ruin it.
Yeah, the first time.
I'd just put some oil in, fire it up, and go on, not worry about it. Wouldn't you?
That's what I think. That's what most people do.
Because you assume they've already soaked the filter.
Yeah, the filter's fine.
I think
that
the filter's got oil on it.
They should say our filters are pre-soaked.
Let's talk about if you ever cleaned up if it hadn't been.
But most of the new lawnmowers, anyway, I know exactly what they're talking about, the foam. And they said this was a new lawnmower, but I've seen them with the foam filters. And they say when you clean it, you know, to put some oil on it and all that. But all the really new lawnmowers I've seen lately, maybe not this brand, but they all have the, and ours too has the paper filter. And that one, you just throw it away. You just, you know, you can brush it off a little bit by hand.
Yeah.
Basically, you just chunk it and get another one.
Well, it's not going to hurt her filter to soak it. If you want to do it, soak it.
No, it wouldn't hurt it.
I haven't seen a foam filter in a while.
I hadn't either.
The paper filters. And what you do with your filter, when that's a maintenance thing, and it's to help with the dust. What you do is I dunk mine down in gasoline. And then I wring it out, and then I put a little oil on it.
Put some oil on it, yeah.
And then put it back in there.
Yeah.
Well, I put it in the gasoline to clean it?
Yeah.
How to do it?
Dunk it down and then wring it out.
But there again, a foam filter is not very expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
Get a new one.
Just go and buy a new one.
Why not?
Pre-soaked oil already on it.
It's not going to hurt you to soak it in oil, so if you have any doubts.
I want to make one comment, too, about this Weed Eater brand lawnmower. It ought to be a real Hummer. I'd like to see that because I have the original Weed Eater brand leaf blower. And I swear I've been using that thing for about 5 years now. And I use it summer and winter around the pool. Mm-hmm. Man, that thing starts first, second time, every time. And it's just kicked on like now for 5 years. I mean, I say this and have it. It'll probably crater out
next week.
But, I mean, so far, man, it's been a really, that Weed Eater brand has been a great machine.
Well,
so.
I was just wondering, you know, if this was the lawnmower, the edger on wheels, the big wheel. Does it have string, or is it a bladed lawnmower?
I
don't know.
You know, they make a big weed eater.
They do make a big weed eater like
that. It's on big wheels.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It has a string thing. So I'm wondering if that's the deal, or has Weed Eater gone into the...
No.
I have no idea.
But I always wondered how that thing with the string, I know exactly what you're talking about, like a lawnmower, but with string, I wonder how that really would work.
I think that's just some kind of commercial edger. I mean,
it's kind of different.
A brush, it's kind of like a brush clearer or something.
Well, I'll tell you a deal, not to elaborate too long on lawnmowers, but my lawnmower is a self-propelled big wheel lawnmower from Sears, and the hell of it is, it stopped pulling itself, which is major problem.
Uh-huh.
So immediately I thought, well, that's the belt. You know, I've never changed the belt in 3 years, so I ordered a new belt, had to mail order it from Sears, got it in, went and installed the new belt, not that big of a deal,
and it doesn't
pull. And I hear something click. I think something's broken in the transmission.
I already had to replace mine, so I'll never do this again.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth buying a transmission for, so I don't know. Unless somebody's got a quick fix or a way to work on that transmission, I wouldn't know what to do.
So the riding mower that we have from Sears, it'll run fine, and it'll cut fine, but the blade's all the way down, and we couldn't get it up. John fooled with it, I fooled with it, Chris fooled with it. The other day, the lawnmower guys were mowing the lawn with the lawnmower. And somebody said, well, what'd you do? Oh, it works fine. I don't know what they
did,
but the blade came right up. I appreciate them fixing my lawnmower.
Yeah, you know? No kidding.
Anyway, you got another one?
Here's a reminder from Ray Broyce. He says, if you haven't visited the Blind Handyman Files area managed by Dave...
Yeah.
I would encourage you to have a look, so to speak. There have been over 3,000 visitors to this site, and at the moment there's 371 different subjects you can find information on. Now, if you find there is no information on the subject you're looking for, says let us know. We'll do our best to find it for you. We're all here to help each other, so ask any questions, and there are many talented people who are willing to help you to understand your dilemma.
Man, well, I'll second all that.
Ask Ray Boyce, and he'll let you know.
Are they sending us the friggin' email? What are they sending to those guys?
Well, they do. There's lots of great files.
They
there
do, Don. That's where we get the email.
Lots of fine files.
We certainly can't answer them, so we can leave it to those guys.
71 different subjects.
Yeah.
There is.
There's a lot of files up there now.
That'd cover
3,000 visitors, which is...
That'd cover
in itself.
Boy.
That would cover a lot of territory, that many that many files. So about anything you want to know about.
Yeah, if you're thinking about doing a project, it's worth going to that page and looking and seeing what might be there.
And if you're not a member of the Blind Handyman List, it's very easy. Just Blind Handyman Dash, subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
That's
and
that'll
put you on the list, and you can ask any question you want to that's on the topic of handyman things. And that covers gardening and lots of different topics, fixing stoves and, you know, whatever you consider handyman things. It's just kept on topic, but it's it covers a wide area. So, Blind Handyman Dash, subscribe at Yahoo Groups. Anyway, our guest is Gail, and we can't think of Gail's last name.
We cannot. We don't know that information.
But I guess he'll tell us. Surely he'll know. If he doesn't know, we've got a hell of a problem there, girls.
Problem.
We're going to do this little break thing. Don Shaw, Don Patterson, Tom Houston. We're all here today. Back in just a second. I'm Phil Parr. Song.
Really
got sliding his hand up and down the
no kid
guitar neck there, Ola. Anyway, I don't know where that came from. That's the jazz channel off of Dish Network. They never say anything. They just play jazz.
Yeah.
But you know, my Dish Network receiver's got to doing the funny thing. It drops out at, you know, every day. Every night.
Really?
Someone might know the answer
to
that.
They merged. They're having trouble now.
They're having a problem. Well, our guest, Gail, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine.
That's good to know. You know what we can't think of? Your last name.
Crow.
Gail Crow.
All right. Yeah.
Well, listen, where's Becky today? She up? Is she there?
Actually, she had a doctor's appointment.
Oh, well, we miss her. Tell her we're sorry we missed her. But anyway, where do you folks live?
Currently, we live in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Lincoln, Nebraska, which is the capital.
Yes.
And would be a cold place to be, I guess, in the wintertime, wouldn't it?
Well, not normally. This last winter certainly was. we moved down here the 1st of January from where we used to live in Ogallala, Nebraska, and I think we kind of brought the cold with us for about 2 months.
Oh, not good.
I mean, we had 2 months that the temperature was about, it was below freezing.
Wow. Yeah, for 2 months?
For 2 months.
I couldn't handle 2 months of below
that's
freezing.
That's rough, yeah.
That'd be hard.
Hey, I couldn't handle it either. It was sad.
That'd be hard on most folks. 2 months of below. Yeah, that, I guess you didn't have to. You could set your beer outside for one thing.
You could do that.
You have to worry about that, you know.
Yeah. No, that's true. It kept it cold.
Buy a keg with a pump and just go out there, and you know. I guess you didn't. I guess not. Well, I'm saying that because I did that one time in a cold winter. I bought a keg and just left it in the garage. The garage door open.
Good idea.
Anyway, do you work, or you retired, or what do you? Do you stay home a lot, I guess?
Well, actually, I am in the Randolph Shepherd program here in Nebraska.
Okay.
I'm a vendor.
You've got a vending stand.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, that's good. Where is it? The government thing and the government to...
Well, it's in... Actually, I have... What I do is machines. I do two locations.
Oh, yeah. And, got the vending machine.
That's right. Yeah. I remember.
That's cool.
You have been on before, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I was one... It was...
it's been a while.
46, I think, was the show number, and we talked about the fact that cutting down trees with a chainsaw.
Is that right? Yeah, I do. I remember that, because I got a letter...
back in about 03, I think.
Yeah, that was 46. That was about a year after we started. Because I got a letter from this guy at Smith Kettlewell who said, Phil, I want you to know I've done all kinds of things, but I've never tried to cut down trees with a chainsaw as a totally blind person, nor will I ever. Tom Fowle wrote me that. Yeah, I do. I remember now. But that's been a long time ago,
A long time ago.
We need to call you more often. You know?
Yeah, it has been a while.
We need to keep in touch, I suppose, don't we? Well, are you still cutting down trees or what?
Well, not really too much right now because we're renting, and I don't think the landlord would appreciate me cutting down his shade tree.
That's probably a good observation.
I think that'd probably make him very nappy, probably.
Yeah.
But the place before you owned, the place up in Ogallala, it was a property you owned?
Well, no, the place was actually in Denver, and that I owned, when we were cutting the trees down.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, I've been a renter for about the last 4 years because of a pretty nasty divorce. And
that'll happen. So, you know, I've had those myself. I know about them. I've had a couple of them. Well, let me ask you this: are you totally blind, or you got some?
Yes, I am.
You don't have any sight at all.
And, no.
And you did this thing with a chainsaw? Cut wood with a chainsaw.
Oh yeah.
Well, I'm thinking the same thing I was thinking last time. I might have nerve enough to do it, but not these days. Not today. The thing about a chainsaw is they're so noisy. They're
the electric ones are pretty noisy, but it's not that hard, really.
Well, it wouldn't be if you knew exactly where the log was. You start the chainsaw. The thing about it is would be picking it up or finding it could be a problem. You'd want to start it and keep one hand on it and cut what you were going to cut and then turn it off, I would think.
Well, yeah. That's basically what you would want to do.
Are you basically using an electric chainsaw?
That particular time was an electric one.
Yeah, because that makes
gas ones, but that particular...
Electric would be the way to go, especially blind, because the noise is minimized, and you can, you know, the trigger, you punch the trigger, it goes, you stop, and it stops.
Yeah, you release that trigger, and it's going to stop.
Yeah, it's going to stop,
it's not
going
anywhere.
You could kind of place it in a, you know, if you had your jig fixed, all right, I want to cut 20-inch logs here, and... You know, and I mean, that would make more sense than a gasoline one to me would be just brutal for a blind guy. I mean, I admire your grit.
I've started them for people, but I've never... Listen to Frankie. Frankie Brown. Well, I made the mistake of letting her in the studio the other night, so now she thinks it's all right to just...
You have to be in there all the time.
Yeah, she thinks she gets to be in here all the time.
Yeah.
But I've started it, like, from my wife started it, and somebody wanted to borrow it one time, and I got it out and cranked it a couple times just to make sure it would start. But I never did cut anything with it. But an electric one would be the thing. In fact, I might do that with electric, because like Pat said, you squeeze the trigger and you're rolling and you let go and you're not.
Oh, yeah, a nice electric saw would be great to have.
The newer ones do have a blade break on them, the gas ones, and that blade break will keep it from turning as well. You know, so that's a kind of a new safety thing that they've done in the last 15 years or so.
Okay, so the blade wouldn't turn unless you were pulling some trigger?
You have to actually physically release the blade break and then grab it and pull the trigger.
Okay. That'd
even on
be
the
better.
Gas ones.
That would be better. So you'd have to release it, cut what you wanted, then lock it and let go of the trigger, and it'd be all right for you to be pawing around there looking.
Trying not to
spill your scotch while you're hunting your chainsaw.
A comment, though, on that. I guess that's another government reg.
Yeah.
I have a little Husqvarna, probably, I guess, an 18-inch. It's one of their smaller gasoline chainsaws. Runs good and everything, but it has the brake. But I'm partially sighted, but there again, from a totally blind perspective, unless you were darn familiar with your saw, I don't like where the lever for the brake is because it's right above the chain. You know, so if you, you squeeze it back towards you when you go to start the chain, is that right? And then you push it kind of forward to release it. Is that it, Gail?
I can't recall, but I think you're right.
Yeah.
The difference is the brake is actually on the, it's connected to the handle that you grab in your left hand.
Yeah, it's there by your left hand.
Yeah, it is kind of close to the blade if you're not careful.
Yeah, and so the putting it on to start the saw is okay. It's kind of when you release it because, in a sense, you're pushing it toward the
chain.
You put your hand on the outer edge of it and do it that way.
Yeah.
And you're a good 3 inches away from the blade. I mean, it's basically just like what you would do if you... You know, like cutting with a table saw. You know, you.
Well, yeah, it's
set it up and you just push it through, and your hands. I mean, you got to know enough to keep your hands out of the way.
That's absolutely true. But the electric would be that. You know, of course, we got a lot
electric
more.
Electric would be better. Yeah,
we've got a lot more people with us now than we did in show 46 when we did that. Surely we'll probably get some feedback from some guy who lives in Alaska that cuts three cords a year with a Husqvarna chainsaw, you know, some fool.
Could be, yeah.
Oh, you know we will. I'd be happy to talk to him, too.
Yeah.
But that's pretty interesting. Why shouldn't we be able to do that? It's the only thing, like I said, was and for blind people, if you're not blind, you don't understand when a big loud sound comes, like a great noise, a big train or an airplane or some big loud noise, it basically takes your parameter away. You can no longer tell where you are or what's going on because you get your directions as a blind person through your ears. And so, you know, you're lost if you got that noisy. About 3 winters ago, we rented a wood splitter. And that son of a gun, remember that, Chuck?
Oh, yeah.
That son of a gun was loud. I mean, I couldn't walk from where we were to the house with it going. It was that loud. And
I'm sure.
All day, and we're fixing to have to do that again because we lost an oak and we got a bunch of stuff piled up. So what else, what other kind of things you do? Handyman stuff.
Just basically anything I need to do.
I guess renting.
That's a good answer.
I guess renting you don't do as much as you did.
Renting I don't do as much. I could.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, the last place I rented, I knew more than the maintenance guys did. But I figure, hey, that's their job. They're paid for that, so let them do it, even though they're doing it wrong.
You're right. Even though they're doing it wrong.
Hey, most of them, you know, a lot of them do.
Even when I rented, the first thing I did when I rented a house is took a screwdriver and went around and tightened up all the doorknobs and door latches and light switches and did all that little piddly stuff.
That little stuff.
That nobody else had done. And that was the first thing I did, even in the rent house. I thought I always left them better enough.
Well, that's you kind of have to do because you know, otherwise by the time you get the maintenance guy over there, the doorknob's going to fall out.
Oh, that's the kind of stuff I'd do if I moved tomorrow. I would go around and do the same exact thing, check everything.
Well, you know, blind people are basically, most of us totals are anal retentive. We have to. Things have to be a certain way, and we won't have it any other way. Well, tell us about your machines. What kind of how do they work? Yes, you do maintenance on them also.
Not on these as much because they're bulk machines.
Yeah.
So you don't have as many parts, you know, to break. And what you do have the dial where you put the money in and you turn it and stuff is got a lot of little springs in there.
Uh-huh.
And you go to trying to get those out, and everything goes flying.
Tell me what you said, a bulk machine.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, bulk machine is like bulk candy and bubble gum. You know, the machines that sell M&Ms for a quarter and peanuts.
I have one of those myself. It's made me just a bunch of money. Just one single little machine in a good location that's done well.
Yeah,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Is that your type of machines that you have?
Yeah, that's what I currently have. I just, like I said, I just moved to Lincoln the first of the year, and it's a new location for me.
Uh-huh.
Before that, I was doing pop and candy machines, and of course, I had to do the maintenance on those. And then I also own some three personal machines. So I got a snack one, and I've got an all pop one, and then I've got a combination machine, which one of these days I'm going to be putting those up on eBay to sell because can't find locations right now.
That's the problem, is finding locations for that stuff.
Yep.
That's the big deal right there. You know, once you find one.
I wasn't aware you still had any, Don.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still got that one. It's still making money, so I'll keep it.
What a deal. So,
get rid of it.
So these machines, Gail, basically if something goes wrong with them, you just put in a new unit and send the machine somewhere and have someone work on it.
Basically, I get a hold of the guy from the commission who does the servicing, you know, if it's something that we can't do, and hopefully he'll get to it, you know.
Well, Gail, not being real nosy, but, I mean, it seemed like it would take several of these machines to make a living if they're, like, just dismissing
them. You need several, yeah.
So how many do you have?
It does take quite a bit. I've got, I've got 14. I've got 14 bulk machines in one building.
Oh, man.
Oh, really?
But
wow.
Then do you have other machines, like soda machines, too?
And I've got a soda machine and a snack machine in another building.
Yeah.
And I'm always looking to add to those, you know.
Okay.
If I could, I could find other locations, I would definitely be adding to them.
They make
a little bit of money, but not enough that you can live on. You know, so I still end up having to use some Social Security benefits as well.
It's good extra money is what it is.
But at least it's something to do. It's a business. And it's an experience. I enjoy it.
So you have to go around and collect these money out, get the money out of these machines.
Of course. Uh-huh. Get the money out of them, put the product back in them.
Put product back in.
Fix whatever's wrong with them or, you know, have enough knowledge to know what's wrong with them and call it in and get it fixed.
Yeah.
I had a deal one time on ours where you could the customer would turn the handle to get the M&Ms out,
mm-hmm.
and there's a little gear in there that it wasn't turning when you turned the handle. It's a good metal gear mechanism on this machine, but it was just simply that when I got to looking into the coin changer mechanism, it was just a screw that was loose, and I just tightened it, and then the handle, of course, turned the gear, and that's all there was to it.
And that's all that it takes.
But there were people putting their money in your M&M machine, Don, and they were not getting their M&Ms.
They weren't getting anything.
Oh.
But then on the other hand, we've gone, you know.
Well, that could be profitable.
We've gone 3 weeks before where the machine was given candy without paying. So, and, you know, it all works out in the end.
That's another side to it.
That's another side.
How did you discover that, Sean?
Actually, we went up and fumbled around with the machine, just, you know, flipped the handle a few times, and bingo, boy, M&M's started dropping out. I said, this isn't good. And it had been about 3 weeks, man. It was giving away free candy. So.
That's not good.
No, that isn't good.
So that happens to these machines occasionally, right?
It can happen.
Sure it does, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, next time it happens, give me a call. I'll go by the...
You'll come up and grab some M&M's. Go by the location
and get some...
Well, Phil, I'll tell you what. It'd be cheaper for me just to send you a 3-pound bag and do that, because...
I guess it would, than to drive and to come all the way up. I've never been to North... Well, I came across North Dakota. We took a train from Chicago to Las Vegas one time, and it came across...
Nebraska,
I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the California's effort. It comes from Chicago, goes across Illinois, across Iowa, across Nebraska, down into Colorado, to Denver, and then through the mountains And from there, I don't know where it goes because I've not been that far.
Well, I think it ends up in Vegas. I mean, it does.
It goes through Vegas, and it actually ends up in near San Francisco.
Yeah, somewhere in California. But it was Lou Anne really loved the scenery. So
Are they still running that train?
Yeah, as far as
I know. Yeah, it's a big double-decker train. It's gorgeous.
Wow.
I love that train.
Of course, the dining car is on the upper level, and you can't, on the bottom cars, you can't walk through. To go through the train, you cross.
You have to go upstairs to do that.
You do. You cross kind of like on the upstairs. And they'll give you, a blind person, if you talk to them. Like, the thing about Amtrak, you just keep calling until you get somebody who will do what you want done. That's the only way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way, because I've done lots of Amtrak trips, and they'll give you this big handicap room that's at the back of a car, and you could have a rodeo in it. It's huge.
Yeah, that's neat. Room. That's cool.
Who's that talking? Maybe I'm going to put them on the phone. Who is that?
Somebody that works for my landlord.
Oh, we're being nosy. But we'll be through here.
Come and buy to get the rent.
Well, that's important.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it depends on which end of the thing
you mean
you're
they have
on,
to send? You mean they have to send a couple of guys there, Gail?
No, just one.
To collect the rent?
It's not hard to get you to pay up, is it, or anything?
Oh, no.
Well, so you're doing machines and from Lincoln, Nebraska, and having a good time. It sounds like life's going pretty good. What age are you?
I'm 48 now.
48. So you're getting on up there. You'll never catch us, but you're moving along. Well, tell our good friend Becky hello, and we're going to go and let you pay your rent, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
We'll
try not to make it so long. This is 196 or 7.
197.
197. You're on 40. So surely within 100 shows, we'll call you again.
You would think so.
Yeah, really.
you call us, Gail. Thank you, sir, and have a good one.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
We'll talk with you. All right, gentleman seems to be living life and doing all right.
Top of the world.
I guess I forgot to ask him. I guess they have public transportation up there probably, and that's how he goes and empties.
Surely they have some good transportation.
The coins out of his machine.
Well, I'd like to have 15 or 20 of them to empty.
Machines?
Yeah.
You got the best job in the world. You've got the greatest little job.
Oh, well, for sure.
Ever known to mankind, my boy.
Yeah.
You've got a cushy job. You got any students this year?
Oh, well.
Not that he wants to talk about.
Let's see who that is.
On the air.
Hello.
Hi there. Are you busy?
Well, we're on the air. Say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, what are you doing?
Hey, Tom.
We're doing the handyman show. Are you on the way over?
No, not yet.
Not yet, huh?
No. Uh-huh.
Give me, right after 4, give me a holler, okay?
Okay, we'll do.
Talk to you in a minute.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
That's engineer Tom Fussell, ladies and gentlemen, from Friday, Texas.
Yeah.
Good thing it wasn't a bill collector, wasn't it?
Does he live in Friday? Where the hell is Friday?
Friday's over close to Groton, right out of Groton.
Comes close to Thursday, right?
Right after
somewhere
right
around
Thursday.
There.
You knew that was coming. It's, you know.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a little short break and be back. I don't know what we're going to talk about. We'll think of something, okay? Hang on.
Show me your company. Come and tell me who you be. I'll try and take things easy. I'll be loose, I'll be carefree. I'm living for tomorrow, not today. Gotta make my plan so in case I'll be prepared when I see you smiling. Cause I feel so high with I'm reaching out for your sky. I found this energy's eye. Feel I could run a million miles. I'm riding on the wheel of fortune, taking me to places far and free. I feel so high when I approach your sky. When I touch your sky, I want my joy to be discreet. Can't seem to hide the feeling that you knock me from my seat. When I'm talking with my friends, you're the subject every time. I know I bore them, but they do it to me sometimes. Cause I feel so high when I'm reaching out for your sky. I've boundless energies. I feel I could run a million miles. I'm riding on the wheel of fortune, taking me to places far and free. I feel tell me who you be. I'll try and take things easy. I'll be loose, I'll be...
All right, enough of that sad music. And I wish Bustle had come by. Maybe he'd have something to talk about.
Yeah, you should have kept him on the phone.
I should have kept him. He's probably working at some radio station. Tom and his friend maintained about 16 radio stations in the area.
Goodness gracious.
Man, that's 16. A lot.
They've got, I think 16 radio stations. They've got the two in Crockett. There were three in Crockett. There are two in Madisonville.
My God.
There's, of course, the one in Livingston. There are one, two, three, four in Huntsville.
Man.
So, you know, they're all little, just little radio stations. And they go up as far as, they've got a little AM up close to Dallas that they help put on the air that the guy wanted to file for high bands. The only reason he put it on. But they put it together, so they keep busy.
I bet they make in a little money.
They make a little money. Tom's just an employee. Chester Ludiger has this company.
Yeah. Well, and if you have a, would be the guy to have.
If you have a radio station, you want it maintained, they're your guy.
Yeah.
And there's another company here in town that does Kicks and that does all the Clear Channel stuff here in Tyler.
Wow.
And so there, you know, there's lots
boy,
of...
Boy, if they could get those stations,
they had the Bryan College Station. They've got four FMs at Bryan College Station. They had those, this other engineering firm, Clear Channel, decided to use only when you use one firm, so they lost those. Anyway. It's big business. Big business.
Maintaining radio stations.
It's amazing.
I can just hear a roll call now. Don Patterson, present. Bill Parr.
Present.
Don Shaw.
Present.
Thomas Dick. Present.
Present, yeah.
Chester Ludiger.
Ludiger.
Yeah.
Ludiger.
What a name.
In front of you, Chester, that just sounded funny to me.
Who's Thomas Vick?
We're glad he came.
Oh, I thought Houston was. Where's Tom Houston?
Vick. Thomas Houston Vick. Now everybody will know your name. Now they can look you up and
now they can
check your credit.
Now they can Google you.
Check your credit. Yeah, Google
that's for
that.
Sure.
Guy wanted that blade. What was that kind of blade he wanted? I can't remember. I never heard of it.
Fluid, or I don't know.
It almost sounds like fraud. Fruid. Started with it was the F word.
Yeah.
The F word.
Yeah. All right, Carol, we'll have to imus you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's going to become a noun, right? We'll imus him.
Yeah.
Like
Lewinsky became a verb.
I guess so. I guess that's true. We don't want to get caught, said Bill to young Miss Lewinsky. Yeah. We don't want to get caught like, I guess not. Huh? We don't want to go through that. We'll send that lyric to you if you like it. Yeah, Lewinsky became, that's terrible. Anyway, who's got anything to talk about? You're not helping us.
Well,
out.
We had the
family reunion.
Emily's, the warden's family reunion. This was our third time to host it, and I promise you it is the last. But anyway, the pavilion...
It is the last.
Well, it is the last. Somebody else, family, we volunteered them. And it seemed like they have bought maybe 16 or so acres out in the hill country around Kerrville. And so we suggested and demanded and insisted that
they have the family reunion out there.
So anyway,
well, what did they all think of your new buildings?
It was all complete. We had, aside from Emily and myself, there were 32 others, so 34 people.
Man, that's a lot.
And the swimming pool, some braved the elements and swam, and we didn't cook one year. Last year, like, we had one of the son-in-laws. He's a big barbecue guy, and he did all the cooking. And it really, this time we sort of catered it. William George, the sliced beef that you get, Lufkin barbecues, potato salad.
Wow.
And then we kind of did the beans and the smaller stuff, garlic bread and all that. Great meal. Played a little accordion for the folks, and they enjoyed that. That's sort of our little claim to fame. And then we do some trivia. The Binion is the family name that the reunion's about. It's Binion. So we do trivia, mostly out of Houston. You know, Phil, we came over and asked you some questions.
That's right. We were doing questions on Houston history last time.
Because we're all about the same age. One of the brothers is 68. Then there's one 66. Then Emily, 62. And a younger brother, 60. And then I fit in there as a brother-in-law, 64. And so then all of their children and grandchildren and all that. And it was nice. The family as a group own about almost 400 acres out here. It's one of these deals, kind of like the Tatum Enterprises up in Zavala.
Yeah.
It'll never be sold because you couldn't sell it, you know, because there's too much squabbling. But anyway, they have this, so they took the four-wheelers, and everybody went out there Saturday, so I took a nap. That's what I did.
I imagine from all that strenuous accordion playing Friday night, you probably
accordion playing was Saturday night, actually. Oh. Friday night, we sort of had a welcome, the spaghetti and hot bread. But anyway, the main thing was the pavilion was showable. I mean, it was finished. I have a little touch-up painting where I'd nailed a couple of boards, and I need to do some little caulking, but the pavilion is finished. Water there, electricity there.
Restroom?
Restroom is functionable. It was used quite a bit, thank you very much, and did not overflow.
All right.
And so the pool was up and running after I vacuumed, and of course all of these savages bring their dogs. I have never heard of going to someone's house. One family member brought two. That is an airplane crashing.
That's a helicopter, man.
Well, it's coming down. Maybe you're being busted.
So one guy, I hope not.
One guy brought two dachshunds.
Really?
And then the other party had a dachshund, and somebody else had a dachshund. So there were four of them, and at one time, and then they had a big lab roaming around. All of my dogs, to the wisdom of the warden, were penned up. And so I said, this is not going to happen. Why are my dogs in the pen, and these people's dogs are... So I just went and let mine out, and Rosie... instantly thrashed one of the dachshunds.
Oh, really?
When asked how she liked... Yeah, man.
I love it.
When asked how she liked dachshunds, she said chocolate covered was as good as any. So she sent him to the happy hunting ground, off squalling to its master. Yeah. And so I told Emily, when we go next year to wherever we're going...
You're taking all four of your dogs.
No, I'm going to take the raunchiest, rankest cat I can find. And just kind of throw him in the house ahead of us. You open the door and these people walk in with their damn dogs. I've never been around people with that much gall. I've never...
Yeah, we always find someone to watch our dog put him in the kennel.
Put him in the kennel and pay $15 or $20 a day to keep from,
No, I can't. I don't. Now, Copenhaver brings his dog when he comes to baseball field, but he takes care of her.
Yeah, I mean, if they were on a leash and outside, okay, give me a break. But anyway, it all went well and they left finally. And I took a nap that day, Sunday, when they first I thought they were going to stay for Sunday dinner. But anyway, they finally got them on the road. I had told them the night before that I would have all their automobiles facing toward Die Ball with a map on the seat. And if they did not have a dog, I would furnish one.
And we even
had escort service out to 59. So anyway, we finally got rid of them. And then I took a good nap, about a three-hour nap, and then that night I went to bed at 7 and got up at 4 the next morning.
And back on schedule.
Back on schedule.
Did the judge come over?
The judge did not. The judge doesn't get around much anymore.
Judge married money, didn't he?
He married a lot of money.
He doesn't mess with anybody.
He doesn't need us. Trust me. Yeah.
But you had 30 people.
But his daughter got in one good line, Sarah. She's my pick of the litter.
Yeah.
Got in one good line. She said, if he entertains any notions of leaving his retirement and everything to his current wife, that she is going to certainly show her white trash self. So anyway, they're kind of concerned about the judge. But he is, he married lots of money.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
That is really good. So 30 people.
32.
How about that shower that doesn't work?
Nobody used it. No, it works. The shower works. I just got a little problem with the floor, but I've found out how to solve that. You can actually tile over tile, so I'm going to have to go in and redo the floor, and we're not talking 70 square feet, less than 70, so that's not a major.
Build up that corner somewhere is really all you need to do.
Really, yeah. You just put your mud in there and slant it, and... my tile guy seemed to be a little lax in that area.
He didn't get it.
I don't think he had the concept. So
where it flowed over there.
But anyway, apparently too, you can buy. I want to get this right. There's clay tile, which apparently ours is, and it scuffs real easy. And when you chip the finishing coat off, then you're back down into the red clay. And so some of our tile that we used is already, the paint is coming. So I told them we would probably go a better, greater tile.
So
anyway,
that wasn't the right kind of tile to use in the first place.
Well, it is made for that. It's bathroom floor tile, but it certainly, I mean, it is cheap. Even though Lowe's did not sell it cheap, it was not a very good quality. Ceramic versus clay, I guess is what I'm trying to think. Ceramic holds the color. Uh-huh. But I don't know if you can get these little...
Well, would water go through that grout that you put between ceramic blocks of ceramic tile?
It will, yeah, eventually. I mean,
really?
Eventually it would, unless you seal it, and then it would be an ongoing thing. You'd probably need to do it every 6 months or 12 months, but it's not a big deal, but there's just a better way to fix it. So
what do they do in, like, hotels where they have tile showers?
Well, if they got tile showers, but they have a pan under there. See, that's where I messed up, is I didn't put this polyurethane. There's some material that you should put under your tile that keeps it from leaking.
And you didn't do that?
I didn't do that.
Oh. Well, therein is the problem.
So
you're just going to have to bust that out and start over. What are we talking about?
Well, I'm not going to bust it out. I'm just going to start over.
We're talking about an area.
$1,500. Fix it.
Oh, man, that much?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, if I paid somebody to do it. What the heck?
Get the judge will have it.
Well, if I get me a couple of those M&M machines stacked around.
Yeah.
Let's see, 3 years on that one machine, Shaw. So if you had 9 machines, you could do it. I could cane those chairs in about an afternoon.
Yep.
Sell that four-wheeler.
That's right.
Sell that four-wheeler. Next.
How many four-wheelers you got?
Well, we got 2.
Oh,
wow.
I'll be darned. Should have come got my dirt bikes.
Well, yeah, I would have if I'd have thought somebody to really kill themselves. I'd have been over here in a minute.
Pick them up.
Well, we can hardly wait for next year's exciting family reunion. Maybe you can do a remote from Kerrville or something next year. It's kind of a...
That's true.
All right, I guess we're going to go. This one, 197?
Yeah.
So we got 3 more to go.
Yep.
And we'll be at 200.
And then is that it?
And no. I'm going to keep plowing on for a little while.
I'll be here.
We'll, I don't know how long.
We'll be here.
Stumble on. Thanks for coming, Tommy Houston, Vic.
Oh, man.
Appreciate it.
To be here.
Glad to have you. Glad you came. Glad you visited with us. And Don Patterson, Don Shaw.
Yep.
Thanks for coming and helping us out. And I guess we'll do it next week, huh? Maybe we can have a quorum next week. I'm Phil Parr and Don Patterson, Don Shaw, Tom Houston. I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.